glad you're here tonight.
Hey, you falling down on your job.
Hey.
I sure am.
Yeah, I know. And he don't know who won't take up mine, so I just thought I'd.
Mommy should tell us. You think money grows on trees? She said, take a penny, put it out in the yard, bury it, see if you can grow money. We didn't have no sense that we would grow on trees, so we'd go out and plant it.
Well, people used to bury the money in the ground, but it didn't grow.
No, but I wonder did they ever find all that money they ever buried sometimes, you know?
Probably not.
I wish I could find some money.
Me too.
That's true.
Well, you know, June's going to be here before you know it.
That's right.
But, I thank the Lord for that. I thank the Lord for Brother Noah Fry that come and that week and brought revival. I mean, he brought God's word to where we could individually, we could have revival. And I thank the Lord for that, I really do. You know, so many times this day and time we're living in, we are expecting other things, but when other things happen, we kind of bypass it in a way. But tonight I want you to turn to the book of John chapter 6. John chapter 6. When?
Just the first cup I fix it. You know how I am. It just fell out.
It'll dry.
At least it was just water.
That's
right.
Well, you said that. Yeah, I know you drop it, and I just drop myself. Well, I pay, ain't one.
Yeah, that's right.
I'll tell you what. You know, I do want y'all to pray for tomorrow. I don't know what the doctor's going to, what they found him with any tests and everything, but which I'm not going to put. I do thank the Lord for the doctors and the medication and everything that he has provided himself for individuals like me and you. If we get sick and we come down with something, that we can go to the doctor and they can give it to us. And it's not like that we still don't have a faith in the healing power of the Lord, because the Lord does use the doctors. And I'm so thankful for that he uses the doctors to go about doing what he wants us to do, and I don't think the Lord has got anything that he wants me to not do right now. I know that right now I've been on the sideline now for probably about 60 days and everything as far as going out and visiting, and I just need to strengthen my legs, and I hope he can give me some medication that'll do that and help me as far as that, so we can get back out and hitting the pavement and everything and inviting people to church. You know, people today, I don't know why it is, unless they see the preacher or the pastor of the church, then, you know, they wouldn't even think about even coming. But, you know, which today, they don't mind even just saying, hey, I'll be there Sunday. Sunday never gets here, but they didn't tell me which Sunday, though. They didn't tell me it was in 2015 or 16, 17, or when. They just told me it was a Sunday. So, but here in John chapter 6, in verses 15, let's start reading with verse 15, where the very first part of John chapter 6 is speaking about the young lad there, and what a young lad went out, and then not only as he's going and traveling to his destination that day, and he met up with where he heard a noise, and when he heard that noise, that he went over to investigate it, and it was none other than the Lord Jesus Christ with his followers, his disciples, and everything. But yet here we see where after he started back traveling, he started back and he traveled to back to the mountain, and he went up to the mountain and he prayed. And it says, when Jesus therefore perceived that they would come and take him by force to make him a king, he departed again into a mountain himself alone. And when even was now come, his disciples went down unto the sea and entered into a ship and went over the sea toward Capernaum. And it was now dark, and Jesus was not come to them. And the sea arose by reason of a great wind that blew. So when they had rowed about 25 or 30 furlongs, they see Jesus walking on the sea and drawing nigh unto the ship. And they were afraid. But he saith unto them, it is I, be not afraid. Then they willingly received him into the ship, and immediately the ship was at the land whither they went. Our Father, tonight we just thank you for the reading of thy word, Father. And Father, that your word that we've just read, Father, will touch me in such a way, Father, that you will provide that unction from on high, God, that will touch me, Lord. And that, Father, that I can enjoy the message, Father, because if I do not enjoy my own preaching and the messages that you've given me, Father, how can I expect someone else to enjoy it and to receive something from it? Father, we need the help tonight from heaven. And Father, we do thank you for that help. And Lord, we need your help each and every day. Father, we do thank you for the revival that we just come out of with Brother Noah Fry. And Father, we just know that we've been touched from that. But even that, Father, we still need your touch upon our lives each and every day that we go through, Father. Because the devil, he's on a rampage. And Father, and he will do anything he can to destroy thy work. And Father, the only thing that he has today, now, the only thing he has as a weapon is to try to get the Christian discouraged, Father. And Father, discourage them in such a way, Father, that they will not even think about even coming back to church. Father, they will come here and then and there. But Father, we just pray, Lord, the discouragement would not be upon each and every one of us, Father, tonight. Lord God, we just pray for thy security, Father, upon our souls. And Father, we ask you, Lord Jesus, to come and sit down amongst thy people today, Father, and teach us what you have said. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. Here we see where that after Jesus had rested for a while there on the hilltops and on the plain there, that he performed a miracle in the first part of chapter 6. And the miracle that he performed provided 5 loaves of bread and 2 small fishes. But they said, one of the disciples come back and he said this, we got this little right here. Look at the thousands of people that we have among the hillside. They are hungry. They're weary. We're hungry today and we're weary. But we should be hungry for the Word of God. We need to be so hungry that we can just taste the manna from heaven. And I believe that this right here is a type of the Holy Spirit. I believe this right here is a type of the Holy Spirit that God used in a way that only He could use. But it says down here, says, and I'm going to go back and I'm going to go back and highlight some of this in the first part of chapter 6 in verse 11, and Jesus took the loaves, and when he had given thanks, he distributed it to the disciples. And the disciples to them that were set down, and likewise of the fishes, as much as they would. When they were filled, that right there is the miracle. When they was filled, it was every individual there. It was men, women, children. They was all filled in the hunger that they was looking for. We today, we are hungry after the things of the Lord. And we need to stay hungry for the things after the Lord. Because if we don't, we're going to dry up. And when we dry up, what do? You wither away. We don't need to wither away. We need to continue on. And I know that since we've been here, it seems like the... And please don't get me wrong. I'm not here in doing that. It looks like every time I turn around, we're having to spend money for revival and stuff like that. Well, I'm going to tell you something. For us to really to stay hungry for the Lord, we have got to long. We've got to long for that inward revival in ourselves. Now, I know that we just come out of revival, and I know within a month and a half, I'm right, 2 months now, we're going to be going into Jubilee. But I think in a Jubilee that we're going to experience something that we haven't experienced in revival, even though we've been revived, we've been renewed, and it's the only ones that can be revived is the one that has been born again. The ones that's dead, you can't revive something that's dead because it's dead. It don't have no life to it. I don't want us to get to that point that we don't have no life to us. We can fall into the devil's trap, and we can fall into what the world wants us to do if we don't watch it. But when we do, when we fall into the devil's trap, the devil, what is he going to do? He's going to start with a mind. He's not going to start with a heart. He's going to start with a mind, because he can take our mind and he can get us so confused about what's going on. And he can say, well, preacher, say, you know, so-and-so, they hadn't been to church yet lately. You know, preacher says, you know, you've been there now right at a year now. The church really hasn't grown. See, that's the way the devil can do it. See, that's the way the devil can discourage me to the point that where I can look up. And not only that, when the devil knew that he could not discourage me in that route there, that the devil thought that he could take the weakness that I had in my legs and allow me to stumble and fall here in church and stumble and fall among visitors that come in. Says, I'll get you. I'm going to get you one way or another. But I will thank the Lord that the Lord was there to catch me when I failed, because it wasn't there that I hit the, I hit the floor. Yes, I've hit the floor. I've took some tumbles too, but I ain't broke anything. I ain't broke nothing yet. And I'm not saying that it's not a possibility that I might, next time I fall, I may break something. But I will tell you this, I'm going to get up, I'm going to dust myself off, and I'm going to get something else, and I'm going to still come back. The devil's not going to defeat me. He wants to defeat me. Oh, yes, he wants to defeat me with this MS and then the mini strokes. Oh, yeah, he wants to defeat me in that way. He wants to bring discouragement unto me. But I've already got it approved from the great physician on high. He says, the only one that's going to put you on the shelf is going to be yourself. I'm not going to put you on the shelf. Look at what Job went through. I mean, just like Brother Noah said, Noah loved God. He loved God so much that he was not going to allow Satan to say, Lord, why is this all coming on me? He did not lose his faith in God. I mean, hey, he even went all the way to the ashes of coal where they just had a fire. And the coals there were still probably red. And he sat on them. Why did he do that? To ease the pain for other sores that he had.
Hey, we can ease the pain that we have as individuals with the sufferings that we have. And how do we ease that pain? Just like the song said, we can have a little talk with Jesus. Yeah. When you have a little talk with Him, He'll ease the pain. And He'll tell you, I'm right there with you. I'm right there with you. I mean, that night that I stumbled and I fell off of this right here, I'll tell you what I done there. I'll tell you exactly what happened. When I stepped down on that on the first step down there, and usually when I step down, I will take and drag that foot over to where we'll hit up against the top part. That night I didn't do it. I didn't do it that night. And I just had part of my foot on there. So when I went to step down with this foot, I just went on down. I thought I'd put a hole through the wall. I don't know who built the wall, but they done a pretty doggone good job at it. But, you know, hey, and we had visitors here that night. But guess what? Glory unto God, I'm still standing. Amen. I'm still standing. I'm still standing. I'm going to still be standing after tomorrow. Because I believe with all of my heart that the Lord has got everything under control. Amen. He's a great physician. He knows more about these bodies than the doctors do. See, the doctors, they have to do the MRI. And they have to put a needle in your spine to draw some fluid. And they have to do a bone marrow and everything to see if you got cancer. And then they have to open you up to see if you got a blockage in your heart and everything. Well, see, God created them. God knows all about them. I've known people in the past. Now, this right here, and I'm going to say this, and that was a young lady that I met, probably has been about 15, maybe 20 years ago. I went with Brother James. I don't think I've told y'all this. Went down to Duke. And he had to go down there and see somebody else. But while he was down there, he wanted to take me by this room and meet this 12-year-old girl that he had met down there. 12 years or right at 11 years earlier than before that, when his grandbaby was down in the hospital. And he lost his grandchild. So this young lady, right, is 12-year-old, her mother and her daddy come over and was talking to Brother James and his daughter about the child that they had just lost by death. They come over talking to him and consoling them and everything. Because James was all so upset. You know, we as preachers, we think that, you know, we're okay. But we need other preachers. And I'll tell you something. Brother James has called me just about every day and checking on me since I've started falling. But get back to that young 12-year-old.
I went in that room that evening. Me and him both did. He went in first. She couldn't walk. She could talk. She was basically born a vegetable, is what the doctors told the parents. And says she'd never be able to hear. She'll never be able to see. But the day that I was in there, she's 12 years old. After her mother had brought her home about 6 or 7 months after she was in the hospital when she was born. Brought her in there, put her in a bed at home, and her mother just sometimes would just sit there and just stare at her and pick her up sometimes, just rock her. So about 2 weeks later, she went back in the room and she says it was a pretty day outside, like it was a day. The sun shining just as bright as it could be. She raised the blind. She said, I'm going to raise the blind. Let the sun rays come inside. And she noticed something about her eyes. Her eyelids started moving. So naturally, she picked her up. And they drove from the beach by where they lived at, by within 20 miles of a hilltop beach, and drove back to Duke to see the eye doctor. They didn't call him. They said, you know something? Y'all told us that she'll never be able to see, but she sees. The eye doctor says there ain't no way. It's impossible. Scientifically, it's impossible. Because the side of her brain that controls her eyesight and her hearing, that part of the brain did not develop. She only has a half of a brain. She said, well, I don't care what you say. She sees. She says, it's impossible. He said, well, it may be to you. But there's nothing impossible with my God. He said, well, I'll go in and examine her then. Because he told her, he said, you know, it's just the muscles and everything that's moving her eyes and eyelid and everything. So he went back and he examined her. And then he took your light, put the light up right to her eye. And her eyes followed the light. That doctor come back and he told her mother. He says, I'm sorry that I did not believe you. And the day that I was down there, she had 20/20 vision. Amen. Didn't even wear eyeglasses or contacts. So don't tell me that God don't work. God works when doctors are working also. You know, I thank the Lord for all the doctors and everything on medication, but I tell you what, but he can do it, and he will do it in his own time.
But right here, in verse 15, it says, when Jesus therefore perceived that they would come and take him by force to make him a king, he departed again into a mountain himself alone. Verse 18, it says, in this sea arose by reason of a great wind that blew. A great wind that blew. You know, before we even start searching, like somebody said, well, wind ain't just blowing kind of hard out there. Did you see the wind? The only thing you could see was the effect of the wind. That's what that doctor seen. That doctor seen the effect of God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. He is always around. I'll tell you one thing. I've got up here sometimes and I've preached, and the Holy Spirit would just come by and kiss me on the cheek. And I just say, well, shoot, man, if I could get out here and just run a while, I'd be all right. But I know that at that time I couldn't. But I tell you what, he's here. He's here all the time. When we are here, he is here. When we leave, that's when the Holy Spirit leaves this building. That's when God leaves this building. Some people say, I heard one say the other day on TV, said, well, one thing about it, I can say for a fact that God is here tonight. He was preaching. That God is here tonight. The Lord Jesus is here tonight. The Holy Spirit's here tonight. He says, after we leave and after we cut the lights out and everything, God the Father's going to still be here. God the Son's going to still be here. And God the Holy Spirit's going to be here. No, he ain't going to be there. Why is he going to stay? I mean, what is he going to do? Work on the pews a little bit? No, he's going to go out with the people. That's the reason he says a comforter. He give each one of us a comforter. To walk and to talk with us. Now, if we leave here, God the Father stays here, God the Son stays, God the Holy Spirit stays here. We don't have more fuss, do we? But I feel him all the time. I thank the Lord that he's always here, and he comes in to the house of God when we come in. If you're saved, been born again, once you enter in these doors, he is here among the midst of the people. He is here.
But it says right here, it says in verse 20, it says, but he saith unto them, it is I. Be not afraid. We don't need to be afraid. Of his finished work. We don't need to be afraid to hear somebody preach about Calvary. And when Jesus was hanging there on the cross. And when he had his hand, arm stretched out, and when he had the nails pierced to his side, into his arms, and had the spear pierced to him, had the crown of thorns on him, and had his legs crossed, and had a nail going through his leg. And we have people today says, oh, you like this bloody religion?
I am. First of all, I'm gonna tell them, I don't have religion. Religion gonna send people to hell. But I do believe It's the blood that he shed at Calvary.
Amen.
Forthwith come out what? Water and blood, or blood and water. He gave his life. They didn't take it. And the water represents the Holy Spirit. When the blood came from Jesus, when he was just completely drained with every speck of blood, then came forth without the wall, the water that was inside of the fluids that was in him came out. The water which represents the Holy Spirit. He was going to be, I see a little drop of blood right there. No, it can't stay. That's got to go too. He'd get away and he'd kind of do a little something over there and pour that out to you. Hallelujah.
It is I. Be not afraid. We should not be afraid because why? Because of his finished work at Calvary. Because with his finished work, he gives us security in him. Not only that, in 2 Corinthians 5:21, for he hath made him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of him, of God in him. Christ's righteousness provides security. He's a provides security for me. Just like that security system that I got at home. Yes, that security system I got at home, that if somebody was to break in the door, yet an alarm will go off and everything, and a siren will go off, and then they'll send somebody there. But you know something? That security system will not never go off. As long as we stay in the book. And faith is the key for security. Romans 3:22, even the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ unto all them that believe, for thou is no different. Faith comes to all that believe in Jesus. Kept by God's power, give security. Security. Have you got the security of God? Can you feel like, can you feel at home when you're at home at night and you're there maybe laying in your bed or something like that and you're there? Just doze on off and go to sleep. Not a worry in the world. That's what you call security. That he will give us. But the security that the devil wants to give us is a security of this world. And the security of this world should not even come into our thought. I love the Lord tonight with all my heart and all my soul. My prayer is just that I can be better, a better Christian and a better servant of his than I was yesterday.
And I'm looking for that blessed hope and that glorious appearing of the Lord. That's what should be on our hearts. That should be on our mind, the forefront of our mind, each and every day when we wake up. Is looking and expecting the Lord to come back any moment. And if we do that, then we will do what we have to do. And we will try our very best to get people in. And we will witness to our people. I know this day and time, people today, they seem like that you can witness to them, you can witness to them, and your family members. Family members are the hardest ones to witness to. They really are. But I tell you, just pray for them. It's all you can do. If you don't want to hear it, then just back up and say, well, Lord, I just want you to remember them. I want you to remember my brother. I want you to remember my sister. Remember the friend that I work with. Lord, they've told me that if I come back to them, if I talk to them anymore about the Lord, they're going to tell me not to come back. We don't need that. We need to still go around our family members. And as we go off around our family members, we can live the Christian life around them. We can live that. And they can read God's word through our lives. And then there will come a day. It may be next week, next year, 5 years down the road. But if you are sincere in your heart in what you've done, I believe the Lord would do what he said he would do. Because see, he didn't create hell for me and you and for the people out here. He created hell for the devil and his angels. The devil right now has got more angels out here than what we expect. Our Father, we thank you, Lord Jesus, for this time. And Father, we just pray, Lord Jesus, that Father, that we can be able to take something out. And Father, that we can be able to just live the Christian life among our family members. And Father, if some way possible, Lord, we just ask, Lord, that you'll continue to do what you want done down here at Faith Baptist Church. And Father, my prayer is, Lord, that you will strengthen my legs, Father. Father, because, Lord, it's things that I want to do. It's people that I need to go and see. And Father, It's just bothering me the way I just ain't been able to go like I once started. So Father, we ask Lord Jesus that you just touch me and touch the individuals I hear that's here tonight. Lord, that we can be able to thank you for your mercy and your grace. And Father, provide the answer to each and every prayer request that was prayed tonight. Father, we thank you and we love you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen.